It's time for The Citizen Lobbyist, a discussion of local, borough, and state politics featuring Terry Snyder and Mike Malefsky.
Hello there, Terry.
Hey, hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm good, Citizen Lobbyist. And here in the studio, of course, running the board and doing all kinds of stuff is Lee Henriksen.
Good morning, Terry.
Hey, Lee. How are you?
Doing great.
Good to
and
talk
you?
To you?
Yeah. Good.
So what shall we, where shall we begin? This has been an interesting week, I think, at least with one meeting that you attended, and that was the Palmer City Council.
Yeah, it's pretty slim right now. July is usually the month where there's a lot of space between meetings, Mike. School board kind of winds down, not that administration is off, it's just that there's a lot of people on vacation, so they don't try to schedule much during the month of July, as does the borough, although I think they've had a couple of special meetings, but nothing of real significance. But the Palmer City Council meeting, although relatively brief, starting at 7 p.m., I think we're out of there, Mike, about 8:30.
Right.
Had a few items in it, for sure.
Sure. What did you notice? Well, what pops out first as we walk through the agenda?
Well, you know, I always like to talk about attendance because I think that's really important. You're an elected official, you should be there. And they had good attendance, although Councilman David Fuller was calling in. He was certainly part of the meeting. I was unclear to me whether the attorney was on the call or not. I think at one point the clerk thought he was on, but it didn't sound like he responded when they asked him something, so perhaps he wasn't. But
He was on. He did recover. Yeah. So when they asked him a question, he had answered. But as often happens when you have somebody that's on a phone, you may have muted it to be polite, and then you have to unmute it before you are heard.
Yep, that's it. Okay, good. That's good to know. And of course, the manager and the mayor was there. So full table up there. This was, I think, one of the first meetings for Councilwoman Linda Combs, who was recently reappointed to that seat to fill until the next election, which will happen in October, where she will have to run again. She is completing a term, was appointed to complete a term for Mr. Hansen, who has stepped down and become an employee of the city. And she will have to run to defend that seat in October, as will a couple other council members. So we'll get into that later. They just did away with some really quick approvals of the agenda, some action memorandums having to do with a premium to their insurance company that they have to, you know, of course, ask the council for a blessing to pay off on. Insurance for cities is not cheap, and it was fairly well documented there. The other two action things they took care of was a confirmation of the mayor's nomination of an individual to the Parks, Recreation, and Cultural Resources Board, and also who was Heather Kelly, and then an action memorandum confirming the mayor's nomination of two individuals for the Planning and Zoning Commission, and Andrew Corbin and Rhonda Wolbach. They weren't there, but they were unanimously selected. I guess what I want to say about that, Mike, I was thinking about this morning. There weren't any questions having to do with qualifications of these from the council of how the mayor came to this selection process. And what I noticed isn't included in this particular process that is included at the borough vacancy report is the credentials or the resumes, so to speak, of the individuals. So that would be, I think, something that might enhance what the city of Palmer does so that people can know, other than the mayor's preference, the mayor's preference.
Hey, Terry, this is Lee. Mm-hmm. I can say the last time there was an opening on the Parks and Rec Board, I applied. And
yes, I see that.
And I think I was put in for this one again, too. The application is a very simple one-page form, and you can add stuff to it, but they don't ask for a resume or much detail.
Right.
And the mayor did call me up and chat with me about my interests. So she interviewed all the candidates. And then when I didn't get that last appointment, she did call me up and let me know. So she was very responsive and professional in her dealings with people.
So as I understand your discussion, that the real question is, this puts all of the process on the mayor to do the initial review and selection and so on. And then the council has its role of approving this when it's presented by the mayor. But for those people, and I know the mayor and the council, I believe, have been interested in ensuring that people come forward and actually put their hats in the ring for one of these positions. But it would be helpful to probably have an understanding of this and who the people are, as you're suggesting, a little more transparency in that rather than have it just be the names popped up and that's all.
Right. And, you know, I agree with, I've seen the application, Lee, and I agree with you. There isn't really a request for that information. I'm just suggesting that maybe they take a look at the way the borough does. It's a little, it also is a pretty simple application, but they encourage people to give their application or give their resume, not a complete resume, but at least some background of why they're qualified to do it. And I think that's, in all fairness, good for transparency, as Mike said, so that it's not just a personal preference of one lawmaker over another. And having said that, of course, the council has all the right in the world to, during the time of this action taken at the council, to quiz the mayor, and I'm sure she'd come forth and tell them. But I think it would be good for, first of all, I'm glad to see people are actually applying for these positions, because that's kind of the first hurdle. But I do think in the name of transparency, it would be good to get a little information. You don't have to have people's complete resume, but at least know what their background is that makes them good for this position, other than what the mayor knows. Or perhaps she can just give that summation, I guess, at the council table. But I think having that in front of people so that they can see is would be a good step towards transparency.
Yeah, you make me think the council is basically just rubber stamping without thinking, and giving and taking an opportunity to be a little more serious or intentional about their vote in this instance is a good practice. I agree. Good point.
Right, and in all fairness, they could be having those conversations, you know, in private with the mayor, but that doesn't help the public. And I like that people are stepping out of their comfort zone to apply for these. There were two candidates for this position, and hats off to the mayor, Lee, for calling you and telling you to reapply. And she was quick to say that people could reapply. This particular P&Z, or Planning and Zoning Commission, is only an appointment to the end of the year. So people can go ahead and reapply. But I think people might feel a little more comfortable with reapplying if they knew that it was credentials that were part of the equation, and not just personal preference. And by doing that in some type of other form or request for information might push that process along. Just a personal opinion.
Okay. So we moved on beyond that.
They did have a report from Dan Lucas, who actually is the chair, current chair of Planning and Zoning Commission. It was kind of they do quarterly, but it's been longer than quarterly, so it was a little longer than normal report. He did make mention of the fact that two meetings had to be canceled for lack of quorum, so it's good that they have a full Planning and Zoning Commission. He was grateful about that. He talked about them taking up the review of Title 17, which is the residential zoning district, and having to have a lot of discussions having to do with something people are pretty interested in right now regarding short-term rentals. Think Airbnb, I think, people renting out short-term rentals in their homes. And he said they are quite aware, the Planning and Zoning Commission, knowing that they need to deal with that. There was some comment from Mr. Best saying that he had some uncomfort with the whole short-term rental situation, so I think there's a lot more to be said about that. They also had quite a discussion later in about the sign ordinance that they're taking up regarding Title 14. That's being talked about right now. It was introduced in 2012 and, as Mr. Lucas said, never really dealt with, so they're trying to look at that, too. They're reviewing a conditional use, I thought interesting, for a gas station and car wash at the corner of Arctic and the Glen Highway where the old Chickadee building was. So they're looking at that right now, and it'll be good to see something vibrant on that corner, but it's going through the review process. They're also reviewing the conditional use permit of the, and help me with this, Mike, it's the landfill, materials landfill near the fairgrounds, I think.
Yes.
And there's some special limitations on that, and there has been some concern by adjoining property owners over the years, and that his comment was they hoped they continue to fulfill their obligations there. So that's also
And that's had a long history. Whenever you start talking about landfill within any area, but particularly within the city, and people are aware that what is going in there to fill it comes from perhaps deconstructed buildings or something of that sort.
But they're limited to it.
Yeah, people say, wait a second.
Yeah, right. So that has come up. Some talking about the airport. He mentioned briefly a resolution that came up several months ago about turning the Eagle Hotel into a residential care facility, but it's now dead for now, as he put it. It was postponed and now is gone. Well, the Palmer Church of God is looking for a larger parking lot, he talked about, and the Whispering Winds Senior Housing Project on Cope is looking for some help from the zoning department. So lots going on for those guys. They take on a lot of really interesting stuff. And if I can't make a council meeting, I always tell people, go to a planning and zoning meeting, because there's a lot that comes up. And that's really where you live. That's really the heart of what goes on. How they conduct business, and we were
able to do the video for last Tuesday's meeting, as well as the audio, and all of that is up there on our website, radiofreepalmer.org. In addition, we're aiming to do the next, I think it's the last Thursday of the month, the planning P&Z meets. And we're going to be doing the next one with a live video to perhaps encourage people to understand the role that it plays.
Excellent. That's a great idea. Good news. There was a short, fairly short presentation from the Matanuska Electric Association, just kind of updating people on what was going on there. There's been a lot of talk about the new meter installations that customers are getting. There's a few misperceptions, as they put, about what those meters do, and they wanted to assure people that there's no additional frequency being sent, and it's really a way, it's sort of all part of the Smart Hub program that they have, and it actually will provide customers with some insight of when they're using energy, what maybe they can dial in on what's using too much energy, and mostly it's about outage management in the end of things. She gave out a really good map, I thought, showing where they were working. They're working on Cedar Hills, replacing some underground lines. Of course, the Glen Highway project is a big deal, and there's utilities that need to be moved there, and they're waiting now for DOT to approve the move. She talked briefly about the Lucas substation, and that it was a nice footprint for when it was there, and Palmer was a smaller city, but it's become too small, and they're talking about expanding that, and that's always a very big process. They need 3 to 5 acre range to do it, so they're currently searching for land, and of course they're going to have a lot of community input there, and they'll also be considering the community impact. That's sort of on the 5 to 7 year horizon, so lots of good stuff there for people to review, again, on the Radio Free website with the tape that you're putting up, Mike.
Right.
Lots of little reports from the manager, some to doing with the wrap up of this sewage treatment plant, that they're on budget, kind of coming to a close on that, getting the final dance with the EPA, making sure it's all certified to use. They're also working with the FAA. They have a, he mentioned they have a very good relationship with the FAA, which has been somewhat of a rocky relationship for the city of Palmer in the past. And they have projects that are going on, and the FAA actually is going to have lots of federal money that'll be available for airport projects, and with a 90-10 match, which is always very inviting, but that, of course, will be up to the council whether they want to do some big projects, resurfacing and that sort of stuff. Just some work on the public safety building, the police department building that needs some improvements. The work they're doing with the DOT, trying to do some sidewalk improvements, and some money that may be released for that so they can get some work done. Just lots of, his full report, which I think is really interesting to look at the projects that are going on in the city, are part of the packet. If folks go to the borough web or the City of Palmer website and download that packet, and you will see what the manager is reporting on. And just a little couple of other little things. He introduced a sign to sign into the city, some ideas that they had come up to for a sign out in front of City Hall. People have probably seen the work that's being done on the parking lot and City Hall. Talked about that a little bit. Also, to remind people that Garden Fair is this weekend, and he will, he and staff and people from the parks and rec board will be manning the booth.
Right, they're going to have a table there this year. Let's just for a moment slip back to that sign, because I thought that it was interesting, as is typically the case. There had been some work done to create a design for the sign, and when it was presented, there were some a little bit of feedback that made some suggestions on changing things for those signs that will become, the sign used on the building and in other locations. My sense was that when they finished up, and tell me whether you agree that it was okay. This was presented. It was hoping to say yes, that's fine, go forth. But I was left with the feeling that perhaps there were going to be some changes in that proposal.
Yeah, I think you will see some changes. It's also worth mentioning that there has been, in fact, in full disclosure, I was on a committee appointed by the mayor to come up with the ways, what they call for wayfinding, basically, is what they call it, and to come up with signage across the city that they had allotted money for a couple budget cycles ago, I think. And this won't exactly be part of that. It will be part of that in that it's part of signage, but it's not going to look exactly like what the committee came up with for the rest of signage. And talking about, you know, little signs that say where the depot is, where the museum is, those type of things, where the bike trails are. But this is something that is a big deal. It's they're coming up with 8-foot signs for City Hall and some 4-foot sign versions. It's a significant amount of money, but I don't think there were some people that loved it and were fine with it, but there were a couple people, I think Mr. Best was one of them, that didn't quite like the way it lined up and made some suggestions. So I think you'll probably see that come back, or perhaps they'll just work individually with those council members. It wasn't really talked about what the resolution would be.
Okay, so then we moved on down. There was some person that was heard. In fact, you stepped forward and shared something with the council.
So I guess I was the only person to be heard
on
participation this year. It was very quick. I had on my AARP Alaska state president's hat. I just wanted to give the council a current hot off the press copy of Where We Live. It's a third edition of a magazine that AARP produces free, and so you can find it online. I gave them all hard copies at the mayor's request, actually. She'd asked me some time ago when the third edition was going to be out, and it's all about good projects across the country that cities are doing that fall into those 8 domains of livability, transportation, housing, etc. And it really is a fabulous read. It's available if you go to the website. They'll send you a free copy, or you can download it online. And the council seemed happy to get it. In fact, the mayor mentioned that an idea from last year's book, she got out of that, the silver shovel, I can't remember what it is, giving out an award she's going to give out to the at Palmer Pride regarding a business that's done a great job in snow removal in front of their business this year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, lots of good things in there. And they took it happily, and that was sort of the end. And an end of all appearances. It was a pretty that doesn't normally happen. Usually,
it was pretty light. Yeah.
Yeah. So the only other thing, Mike, I want to get in here for sure is that both the borough and the city working with the borough is desperate for election workers. Desperate. They are coming up on some hard deadlines where they have to have people trained for the October election. They really have been pitching it everywhere. Move on, have done it for a lot of years. They just can't handle the work anymore. And it's not a free, it's not a volunteer position. It actually pays. The clerk seemed a little unclear what it paid. It requires about a half day training, I think, or several hour training, and then the day of the election, which, as we all know, can be quite long. But it does. You do pay to do it, and it is a great way to give back to community. And the clerks give excellent training on it. Just about anybody can do it. So if you don't want to commit to a board meeting every month, or you certainly don't want to run for election, which we should talk about too, because that filing is coming up. But this would be a great way to do that and make a little money too. So if you're at all interested in serving on during the election in October, you should get in touch with the borough. The borough pretty much handles that, or the city of Palmer. The city of Palmer needs at least two people, and I don't know the borough. I don't know.
I think you mentioned the number of about 40 overall.
Yeah, it's a lot of people. So
yeah,
that's their big call for that.
So since you've brought up the election, the time frame for filing, particularly for the city of Palmer, begins Monday. It's typically the last 2 weeks of July and ends the last Friday in July by about 4 p.m. with all the details available on the website of the city of Palmer. But it really is important in part because this year there are many positions. There are three places on the Palmer City Council alone that are available. So,
right. Yeah. Just for the city of Palmer. So yeah, they did start Monday. They can pick up packets, and it does require candidates to get a limited amount of signatures from people that live within the city limits. I'm thinking it's like 15, Mike. I haven't seen a petition for a while. It's not a lot. And then they must turn in that packet to the clerk by July 27th.
Right.
So we'll know in a couple of weeks how many people have applied. And again, three seats, one term is the finishing of the term that Ms. Combs was appointed to. That term ends in 2020. And then there are two terms that will be up for 2021, and that's going to be Pete LaFrance and Richard Best. So it is really, really important that people pay attention to that. And if you know someone good that wants to serve their community by being in that elected position, you should let them know.
Okay. I just want to pop in, Terry. I went to the City of Palmer website. The nominating period is July 16th through July 29th.
Oh, 29th. That's 27th. Good.
Yeah. And it's right. Probably... And you have to get you have a petition that you have to get people
right.
to sign.
Right. It's pretty simple. One thing I like about the City of Palmer as opposed to the borough, and we should also say the borough also runs the same time as far as applying for and there's three seats up at the borough and the mayor's position this year,
right.
lots of opportunity there, but what unlike the borough, which usually is people raise a little bit of money to do, it's a bigger race. City of Palmer is confined to $5,000 normally, and people run exempt, so you don't have to do all the APOC stuff, which I think, and you don't really, I guess in some sense you are running against someone if you run for that one seat that only has one person in it, but it's the higher of all the votes.
Right.
I kind of a nice way that they do it.
Okay, I want to correct myself. the nominating petition information on the city website has some conflicting thing. It says the nominating period is July 16th through July 29th, but later on it says you have to turn your petition by 4 p.m. on July 27th. So I think your July 27th thing is right. And
I think so, too. That's a Friday, right?
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Right. So there's just a typo at the top of the page.
Yeah, we'll contact the clerk and just have that correction made. Okay. Yeah. Thank
He'll
you, Lee.
That.
Well, we're just about finished here. There was just one other item they did, and that was the crosswalk at Arctic there that was going to help people get across in an area that has been a busy.
Exciting.
Traffic.
I just did it yesterday.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I sometimes go down the main street of Palmer there and think, why don't we have a crosswalk at every corner? I know there's a lot of cities that are doing that now. I know it slows traffic down. It's very confusing sometimes for people that are here that they're so far apart sometimes where our crosswalks are. And it is upkeep. You have to paint them every year, it seems like. They don't really last, but it's good to see those crosswalks. I'm with you. I'm with you, Lee.
Right. Okay. And I was talking about crossing Arctic, the old Glen.
Ah, mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, thank you, Citizen Lobbyist. It was a great discussion today. Any last quick comment?
Nope. Just that the next meeting is July 24th, and they'll be talking about their 2019 budget planning priorities. So that should be good. And remind people that this meeting that we just chatted about will be on the Radio Free Palmer website and we'll look forward to the Planning Commission meeting being on there next week.
Okay. Well, have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Citizen Lobbyist, broadcast on Thursdays at 8 a.m. and repeated at 5 p.m. on Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska. You can find the podcast at radiofreepalmer.org. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, this station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.